This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast
with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.
And we welcome our newest commercial partner to the Accounting Influencers Podcast. It's Practice Ignition. You like these guys, Martin, don't you? What do you like about them?
I like what accounting firms tell me, Robert. And one of the things that I ask accounting firms is, why add this to your app stack? Another thing to use, another piece of technology. So why? And they say, because when it comes to winning new work, they can send a proposal immediately after a meeting with a prospect, and it includes their terms and conditions, their sales brochure, place to enter payment, info and sign. It just shortens their sales cycle.
Well, I like the onboarding thing. There's no more chasing payments, because they get the clients to put in the payment details, they digitally sign it, they get it billed automatically, and it's on the schedule of the accounting practitioners. That just makes so much sense.
Yet no more double or triple checking that invoice has been paid in the accounting software. It's done automatically. And when you send a proposal or you get paid, PI crunches the numbers and spits out just about every metric you could ask for. So there's no more spreadsheets or wondering how you're doing.
Yeah, it's the best in class for what they do. And if people want to go to practiceignition.com, use this special code AIR21, A-I-R-21. You'll get 25% off all plans for your first 6 months. So just go to the website and get your 14-day trial and you're up and running. Hi, welcome to the show, and I'm thrilled to have with me today an old friend, Bobby Lane. Bobby, good day to you.
Hi, Rob, how you doing?
Great to have you with us. Bobby, for the benefit of people listening that may not have come across you, and I'm sure there are not many, just tell us a little bit about your journey and what got you to here.
Well, I started off life as a chartered accountant with BDO back in the early 90s. From there, I qualified with BDO and then ended up being headhunted by Saatchi & Saatchi. And I was put into Saatchi's to turn around their PR division. They had a PR division where they bought a number of businesses, put them together, and it wasn't operating as well as it could. So I was put in there as sort of European FD to help turn that around. And whilst I was there, started developing a business model for the accounting profession to develop outsourcing services and advisory services for SME businesses, which was back in 2003. So I left in 2003 and set up an outsourcing practice, which really was the first of its kind. To go to owner-managed businesses and say, look, you focus on what you do best, and I'll go and run your back office for you. So it was offering advisory, outsourcing, bookkeeping, outsourced FT services, and going to owner-managed businesses and saying to them, look, you know what, you focus on what you do best, we'll do everything else. And that grew. It went from strength to strength. In 2008, we were, by that point, offering a full-service advisory practice, from everything from doing the bookkeeping, payroll, management accounts, outsourced FD services, to year-end accounts, tax, and all under one roof on a monthly retainer. So we kind of changed the way that accountants were operating with their clients and offering them a monthly retainer as opposed to a hourly rate. Won all sorts of awards, took the business international, joined an international, helped build an international association globally. And then we had clients that were coming into the UK that were helping. We had clients that were going international, and really built a practice that was working with owner-managed businesses in the way that they wanted to operate. And I suppose as time went on, lots of other practices started looking at advisory work and outsourcing services and how to offer those. But we've been doing it for about 17, 18 years by that point. Got to about 2017 and sold the practice to Blick Rothenberg, which was owned by the HG-backed Cogital Group at that point. Yeah. Went with the practice, and then always had a vision of something else I wanted to do and taking the outsourcing business one step further. So I left the end of 2019, probably not the best timing in the world, but there you go, left the end of 2019 to form what became known as Factotum, which was taking outsourcing and advisory services for owner-managed businesses one step further and building a true multidisciplinary outsourcing practice to work with SMEs. So as of today, I'm the CEO of Factotum, which works with businesses across the whole range of outsourcing services. So that's my journey in a nutshell.
What a journey it's been. How much do you feel the accounting profession has changed, Bobby, over the years?
It's changed dramatically. I think when I first went into the profession, accountants were seen as the kind of necessary evil for a business. It was something that you had to do. You needed to speak to your accountant to meet your compliance needs, to get someone to help you through all the compliance rules and regulations and the tax rules and everything you had to do on an annual basis. I think over time, over the last sort of 20 years, where it's changed is the relationship between a client and their accountant has changed. And the client now looks to their accountant as an essential part, an extension of their team, someone who can be the translator of the numbers, and really explain what's happening in their business, but also help them navigate certain areas. And we've seen that has been incredibly important during the pandemic over the last 2 years, with accountants being able to support those businesses, help them identify what help was available, help put cash flow forecasts and business plans together, and really become an integral part of that business. So I think they've gone from being someone who provides compliance services to someone who can really add value for a business. And it was the change that I've seen is that it's something where it was a meeting that a client used to dread to one that they look forward to because they can see where it can add value to their business.
Sure, that's a really good point. But who's driving that change? Is the accountant more agile and proactive than they used to be in going out with that service, or are the clients demanding it of them?
I think the accountants have had to learn new skills and new services because you can't just sit behind compliance services anymore and just provide, you know, your statutory accounts at the end of the year. You have to be someone who can really add value to a business. And if a client can't get what they want from their existing accountant, they're going to move to someone who can provide the services they need. So I think it's been driven by the clients, but it's a change that accountants have had to make to be able to provide the services that those clients need moving forward.
That's a really good point, because the compliance is dead debate, rages on, doesn't it? And it's an elegant business model for accountants because they've got that money coming in every month. Businesses have to do it. But in keeping their clients and adding value to their clients, they've got to be ready to give more.
Absolutely. I think what's changed has been what the client is getting for the fees they're paying the accountant.
Okay.
And I think I used to talk at a lot of conferences with accountants and had a lot of conversations with accountants over the years, as you and I have, Rob, about the changing face of how a client interacts with their accountant and how they work together. And I think what I've seen over the last 4 or 5 years is that accountants were very panicky about technology and were very worried that it was going to destroy their fee base and the services they were providing for their clients. But what we've seen is that technology is an enabler that allows a lot of the routine processes to be done more efficiently and more effectively. And you could pass some of the processing work over to those, to the clients or to the technology or to whatever system they have set up. And what that means is that what a client is paying the accountant for is where they're adding value, translating the numbers, showing what the business is doing, and really helping them navigate the minefield of running a business. And what that means is if a client was paying someone £300 a month, £300 a quarter, or a few thousand pounds, whatever it may be, previously they might have been paying 75% of that fee for processing work and 25% for the added value advisory work that was adding value to that relationship. And that's now changed. So I think 25% is probably more for the processing and the topping and tailing some of the work and the input that's gone in. And the rest of it is for what is my business doing? What does it need? What cash do I need? If I'm going to grow, how am I going to grow it? And it's the accountant looking at the numbers, translating what they mean, and helping a business decide how they should navigate the way forward.
Are you a fan of the term trusted advisor, Bobby? Is it overused? Have you got a better term?
If you look at everyone's website, most people have trusted advisor
exactly,
on there.
Or, yeah.
You know, your partner, you know, we're a partner in your business with the extension of your it's people have been saying the same things for many years. And it's fine to use it because you are a trusted advisor and you are the first point of contact and you are someone that the client will go to understand what they need and go to someone who can provide them with the right information that they need moving forward. So it's okay to use it, provided you're living it and it's real and it's something you are actually genuinely delivering. Because there's no point saying you're a trusted advisor or you're an advisor in any way if you're not. If you're just doing compliance work and just doing what they need rather than giving them what they want, you're a trusted advisor, but in name only.
And does that come down to the individual accountant? The onus is on them to upskill and professionally develop so that become that advisor, or is that the culture and the ethos of the firm itself?
It's an interesting question, Rob, actually, because there are going to be some people that are fantastically technical accountants that may not be the best client relationship people or might not be the best people in front of a client. So I think the onus is on the firm itself to identify the skills of the people within the practice and use people for their relevant skills. Because sending someone who is an introvert, who doesn't like going out to meetings and into a room of people to go and network is the worst thing you could possibly do because you're not going to get the best out of that person.
Yeah.
So it's identifying where people are. And in my last practice, that was what we were very good at, was identifying people's skills, what they were good at, and using them for those skills. So actually identifying which partners are good at running client relationships, which are great technically, which staff and which of the team are really, really good technically, and which are good at going to explain what management accounts mean to a client or what they're going to need. So I think the onus is on the firm to identify and really look at their team, their skills, and use people to the best of their ability, rather than trying to make people do a bit of everything. Let people focus on what they're good at.
That's a really good point. And I go further and say, when I teach accountants to win business in our Business Development Academy, there are lots of different ways to win business. And some are more in tune with the networking side of it. Some love creating content and thought leadership. Some love hanging around on social media and LinkedIn. Some like picking up the phone. So you've got to get them playing to their strengths, haven't you?
That's right. And I've seen that a lot over the last year during the pandemic. It's been interesting to watch the evolution of many accountants onto social media and how they've developed their own personalities and their own, you know, some have given some amazing content, amazing support in a more technical way. Some have been dancing and singing and doing magic to get, but it's all about being confident in what you have to offer, but actually delivering your services and your skills in a way that makes sense. Mm. Because as I said, there's no point in a very, very technical accountant singing on LinkedIn. It wouldn't make any sense.
So
I think it's all about and being very clear on what you're good at and what you bring to the table, and making sure that you're building a team of people that when you put that team together can deliver excellent service.
Mm. How coachable do you feel accountants are? Because we know they're super smart. They've got technical qualifications. They've got letters after their name. Ongoing professional development, particularly learning new skills. I'm not talking about technical upgrades, but I'm talking about learning business development skills, commercial acumen. What kind of an appetite do you feel they have for that?
So my son's about to start a training contract in the profession in August. So I know 6 or 7 21-year-olds that are about to go into the profession. And when you look at them, they've got very, very different skills. And the 6 or 7 that I know have got very different skills.
Yeah.
And you can already see from their personalities and how they are, where they'd fit into the profession. If I was hiring them, I know where they'd be in 3 or 4 years time. And you've got some that are going to be, you know, that will get through the exams and get through the qualification, but then will go on to be fantastic business development and client relationship people. There's some in there who are incredibly bright that will breeze through the exam, but will be fantastic technical partners that will support it. And you can actually almost see from these 6 people or 7 people that I've seen going in, that actually if they put together as a partnership, they'd be a fantastic partnership
because
they've got very different skills. It's very much identifying what you're comfortable with, what you're good at. You know, you're never going to make someone good at everything. And I think that's the mistake the profession has made over the last 20 years. And I've seen it in various firms I've worked with and met and talked to. They sit there and say, right, you've got to do a bit of business development, you've got to do a bit of technical work, and you've got to look after a client, you've got to win work, and you've got to manage staff. It doesn't work. You've got to focus on what people are good at and give them a role that's going to benefit the firm by playing to their strengths.
Yeah.
And I think you can teach people to do certain things, but you're never going to teach a naturally introverted person to become the most extrovert person in the world. That's just my personal opinion. People will, no doubt, if they're looking at this, will go, no, you're wrong. People can change. I just think, you know, you've got a skill set, and that's how you're made up. And it's about building on those strengths and recognizing where your strengths play.
And at Factotum, you probably see the very good firms that are really keen to push on and grow. But hand on heart, Bobby, what have some accounting firms got wrong over the last 18 months?
It's really interesting. You kind of get a firm that grows and they do really well. They win some clients and they get to a certain point.
Yeah.
And when they get to that point, they kind of get stuck and they plateau. It's very difficult. And a lot of them seem to face the same challenge, where it's going from where they are here to really pushing on. And a lot of them have faced the same challenges, because I think there's two in particular. One is, they know where they want to get to, but they haven't got a clue how to get there, because they're spending so much time managing the practice blinkered with their head down, and they haven't been able to free up the time. So I was talking to a firm a couple of weeks ago. There was a guy who I think did a partner in a practice who had done hundreds of personal tax returns during tax season. And I said, and he said, you know, I've never got any time to go and win new business and focus on the practice and build staff. I said, well, you're doing hundreds of tax returns yourself.
Yeah.
I said, have you not thought of, you know, if you were able to bring in someone to take those hundreds of tax returns and actually free up a third of your time, then you could go and win new work and you'd cover the salary of the person doing the work. And it's just having someone to take the blinkers off and make you stop and think about what you're doing and how you're running your practice and the changes you could make to start taking those steps. So I think it's the owners, the partners, the principals in those practices tend to just still be doing everything and never take some time off to review the business. And the other challenge I think facing firms at the moment is the lack of staff and the lack of people available in the profession at the moment, and the challenges around finding staff. I think some of the larger firms seem to be hoovering up all the staff at the moment and taking on whoever's around. And some of the mid-tier or smaller firms are struggling to recruit and get decent staff into the practice. And I think we had a period where there wasn't a huge influx of people who were the next sort of generation of accountants. So you've got this gap at the moment where you've got people that started practices and you've got people coming in now. But in the middle, there's a real gap of entrepreneurial minded accountants who could go into a practice and drive it forward. So I think it's taking the time to look at the practice or get someone in to look at the practice and say, you know, what could I be doing differently? But also building the team out to be able to free up your time and help scale up.
And speaking to the recruitment challenge, I read a stat recently that said there are more accountants dying or leaving the profession than there are coming in. And automation is part of that, but the attractiveness of accountancy may be. Well, any tips you might give to the smaller and mid-tier firms, Bobby, in their recruitment and retention policies?
So I think a lot of where I've seen a lot of the firms successfully working for their future is growing your own. So it's taking in trainees, apprentices, and there's you know a whole raft of university leavers and school leavers at the moment who have struggled through the pandemic to find jobs. Don't know what, and there's a whole raft of incredibly bright, talented, entrepreneurial-minded teenagers and young adults in their early 20s. I don't know what you call young adults in their early 20s anymore.
Gen Z.
But there's a huge amount of them on the market at the moment that would desperately welcome the opportunity to get into the profession. So now's the time, I think, to start looking at actually, let's start training staff, whether it's ACCA, whether it's CIMA, whether it's bookkeepers or chartered students or auditors, start training the next generation. Because if you grow your own team, you've got more chance of building, because trying to find people that are going to fit into your culture and trying to find people on the market at the moment is a real challenge. So it's looking at how do I, if I'm going to keep my practice going and I want to continue running it for the next 10, 15 years, how am I going to do that? And who am I going to see coming through? So it's about now building the next generation. And there's a lot of Gen Z out there who want to get into the profession and would desperately love to get an opportunity like that. So they're out there. You know, there's the Kickstarter scheme, I think, as well. You've got the apprenticeship scheme, and you've also got school leavers who are desperately looking for a career. So I think it's now's the time to really start building from the bottom again.
More than that, though, Bobby, the clients of accounting firms now are getting younger and younger.
Yeah, I heard a statistic a while back. It's probably changed a bit now, but the average age of a client of a professional service practice was sort of early 50s. And the forecast was that in 10 years' time, the average age of a client of a professional service practice would be the early 30s. So that means that in 10 years' time, those clients are currently 21, 22 years old. And I said, I've got a son and a daughter of that age, so I know what their friends are like. If they were my clients in 10 years' time, currently, they don't have the experience of running a business. But what they do have is the ability to ask for help, more so than their predecessors. And they are quite open to outsourcing, and they're quite open to saying to people, look, I don't know what I don't know. I'm just going to do my bit here. So can you help me? The key over the next 10 years is going to be able to have a team that are able to work with the next generation of entrepreneurs and being able to translate. So the advisory services, the support, being able to literally plug in and work with that younger generation of entrepreneurs is going to be the next step for practices.
Yeah. Let's talk about Factotum for a moment, Bobby. What was your vision in setting it up?
So if you look at a business, an SME, owner-managed business, and I did it for worked with them for nearly 20 years, providing outsourced accounts departments and saying to them, look, you know, I'm your accounts team. Any owner-managed business has probably four or five key professional services relationships, whether it's your accountant, your marketing agency, your HR consultant, your IT company, insurance, property, whatever it may be. I always thought it was incredibly inefficient because you've got six or seven different relationships. You're talking to six or seven different people. You're having to manage six or seven relationships just to get one project over the line. And I wanted to build a practice which basically said, look, under one roof, we can provide those services, one point of contact, one invoice, flexible with no tie-ins, no long-term contracts. But you know that you can call one firm who are able to deal with all your back office services under one roof. And that was the vision. And that's what we built. And I've built some incredible teams within the practice of incredibly talented people. What one person sort of termed it my version of Avengers Assemble, where I kind of have gone out to find the best of breed in every sector and kind of put them together in one place. So, you know, interestingly, my old boss who hired me into Saatchi's back in the late 90s is now looking at the commercial side and building us out a marketing team. So I brought the ex-CEO of Saatchi's in. Wow. I brought some incredibly talented people across multiple divisions to run sectors run teams and run some incredible work. And we've worked with some clients over the last year and have done some incredible work in a very difficult period and have proved the model and proved how it works and proved how valuable it can be to a business owner to say, look, you do what you do best and we'll do everything else. You know, where are your gaps in your business? What's not working internally or externally? And we've got a solution that works with it. So that was kind of the vision for owner-managed businesses to be able to focus on what they wanted to do and have a team that they could call to support them with everything else.
So what are your conversations with accountants about? Do they advocate that service to their clients on your behalf?
Yeah, I think accountants, I suppose it's good and bad. Accountants historically are not the best at cross-selling other services and they're quite comfortable at selling professional services. But we wanted to solve the problem that, you know, numerous accountants are asked and other professional services, and you'll be asked yourself, you know, clients or contacts will turn around and say, do you know someone who can do X, Y, Z?
Exactly. They signpost, don't they?
And we wanted to solve that problem. You know, when a client asks an accountant, do you know someone who, they sit there and go, oh, who am I going to refer to? I don't know who to refer. And it's a, and then they send an email around, who are we referring work to, or who's the lawyer we're using, or which IT company, or who can do marketing or social media. And we wanted to go to an accountant and say, look, when a client says to you, do you know someone who can do something? Just think of us and pass them to us. So I think we are solving the problem for an accountant where they don't have to panic now when someone asks them for a referral.
Yeah.
They know who to call. And that was it. And for clients as well, we wanted to take away the pain for them when they're sitting there thinking, right, I now need to go and I want to do an influencer marketing campaign. I've now got to go and Google it for the next 20 minutes and talk to 30 people to find out who the best person is. Whereas now they can talk to someone who and a business that can provide all those services under one roof.
Bob, let's do a few quick fire questions to finish things up. First one, what do you love most about what you do?
Working with business owners and entrepreneurs. I think seeing them achieve their goals and helping them achieve their dreams is just what gets me up in the morning.
Do you have a personal philosophy for success?
Yeah, I kind of, again, it follows kind of the Richard Branson theme, which most people either agree with or disagree with. If someone asks you to do something, say yes, and then work out how to do it afterwards.
Is there a thinker or a book or a movement that shaped your outlook on life?
I think really it's a combination of some of the inspirational business leaders I've worked with over the years and people that have set up their own businesses, because, you know, you never stop learning. And every day I'm learning something from a business owner or a business leader. And I think where I've got to is a combination of all the learnings I've taken from everyone that I've worked with over the years, whether it's a client, a team member, you know, whether it's someone that was working in the admin department. You know, you learn from people every day about how to run your life and run your business.
Mm. There are no ideal jobs. What frustrates you most about your role or the profession generally?
Sometimes I think that professionals don't like change and don't tend to, I think, you know, having been trained as an auditor, we were told, you know, you start and follow what you did last year when you've got the, when you're following an audit fund. I think, you know, accountants seem to take that to heart and professional services practices seem to take that to heart, and they carry on doing the same things and are very nervous of change to make any difference.
Yeah, we do it that way because we've always done it that way.
We've always done it. And that holds people back. And I think if you really want to change and really want to progress your practice or progress your own personal development, sometimes you've just got to dip your toe in the water and take a risk.
You're a strong-willed kind of guy. You have set thoughts. Is there anything you believe pretty deeply that other people think is a bit crazy?
You know, sometimes I think it will be the frustration that I tend to run at 100 miles an hour and sometimes people are starting off at 10 and want to get to 100, whereas I start at 100 and then just carry on. But again, that's different type of people. And again, in my last practice, we had a partnership that was made up of different people with different skills, with different personality traits. And that's what makes a good partnership and a good business. You know, one of my partners used to refer to it. He said, you know, you'll come up with 5 ideas a week. 3 will be absolute rubbish, 1 will be average, and 1 will be exceptional. And it's getting rid of the 4 that are average and rubbish and focusing on the exceptional one. And one thing I've always done is always surrounded myself with people that are cleverer than me, that are technically better than me, that are incredibly bright people, because you can always rely on them to give you the right advice and the right support and make sure that when you build the right team with incredibly bright people, you can succeed together.
That's courageous though, isn't it? There's a certain amount of vulnerability involved in that.
You know, as I said earlier, Rob, I think, you know, my last practice was incredibly successful because we had people with different skills. I think if you had 20 people like me in the practice, it would be chaos. And I think, but we had some people that, you know, I always said were much potentially better accountants and much brighter than I were and technically better than I was. But if I put some of them into a room of people, they sort of wouldn't get to know anyone. Whereas by the end of it, I'd be going out for dinner with 3 people over the next week. Yeah. It's a very different skill set. So it's about finding a mix of people that works. And I think it goes back to something I said earlier. It's working out what you're good at. It's identifying what your skills are. and making sure you surround yourself with people who can deal with and plug the gaps in your skill set and skills matrix. And that basically translates to practices and the factotum business. Mm. We're looking at businesses and saying, look, you're really good at what you do. We couldn't do what you do, but we're really good at what we do. So find where the gaps are, either internally or externally, and we've got a solution for it. It's the same with your own personal development and your own personal practice. Find out what you're good at and where your gaps are and the bits you're not good at. You know, so if I'm not great at detail, which I'm not the most detailed person, I've hired a COO into the practice who is incredibly detailed. And sometimes, you know, he's at one end, I'm at the other, and we meet in the middle and it works really, really well. Mm-hmm. So you're always surrounding yourself with people who can fill the gaps that you have in your skills personally and professionally within the practice.
I remember a preacher at my church saying, imagine if church was filled with people like you. And I thought, that'd be great. A church full of Rob Browns, that would be brilliant. Everyone would really get what I'm talking about. And then I thought for a moment and thought, well, who's going to make the tea and coffee? And who's going to run the worship band? And who's going to look after the kids? And who's going to clean up and open up the doors and everything? Yeah. And you need all kinds of different people, don't you?
Yeah, you really do. And that's throughout your life. You know, you need to surround yourself with people that are, and so I had a client years ago that used to refer to them as radiators and drains.
Right.
And they said, you don't want to surround yourself with drains, people that drain your energy and drain your thought processes and really bring you down. You want to surround yourself with people who radiate energy, are going to basically add to what you're trying to do and really plug gaps and build that team and build that energy together. And you know, if you build yourself with a team of incredibly bright, like-minded people, you're going to mutually benefit. You know, again, one of my partners used to refer to it as, you know, we're all like the horses, we drink from the same trough. If we're all drinking from the same trough, we're all going to be successful and we're all going to do it well together. If people are pulling in different directions and drinking from different troughs, it doesn't work.
Is there anything you've changed your mind on over the last few years? We are in interesting times, aren't we?
Yes. What the pandemic's done for me is made me sit still for a little bit, which is very interesting, because normally in you know, my entire career, I've said before, I've gone off at 100 miles an hour and said, right, here we go. We're off. We're doing it. Whereas what the pandemic did was made me actually sit down, contemplate the business, put the right plans in place, put all the right procedures, the right controls, the right team. Whereas I would have tidied up the mess afterwards. Now, actually, I've created the platform for success, which previously I would have gone for success and then created the platform around it. So that's maybe changed. It's actually set us up for success, whereas previously it would have gone off chaotic, not really worried about it. But now we're more controlled. We're in a better place than we would have been if I would have done it that way. So I suppose in many ways it's been good and has given me the time to actually reflect and take a more cautious and thought through approach rather than try and make it happen.
Bobby, the accountants and the fintech listeners that we have on this show, if they want to have a conversation with you, like the sound of what you're doing, perhaps talk about some collaboration or bringing you on board, what's a good way for them to reach out?
I'm pretty accessible. So I'm on LinkedIn, on Twitter, I'm Bobby Lane UK. My email address is bobby.lane@wearefactotum.com. I'm on Instagram as Bobby Lane UK1. So I tend to be quite accessible and people seem to be able to get hold of me. But if anyone does want to have a chat about what I'm doing, what they're doing, just want to have a half hour conversation and just have a chat, I'm always available, always interested in meeting new people and having a conversation and trying to help any way I can.
That's great. And as a final thought, Bobby, imagine that I had the power to make you the czar, the overlord of the accounting profession worldwide, the president of the global industry. What would your message be to them? What would you advocate? What do they need right now?
I think what I'd be advocating is, and I think it's probably a bit boring, but it's what people have been saying for many years. It's about the advisory piece and it's about the client relationship piece. But I'd be advising not to be scared of technology. It would be to embrace technology, using it as an enabler to allow you to focus on the value that you really bring to your client relationships. You know, accountants around the world have been trained to understand the numbers, to read a balance sheet, to read a P&L account, to put a cash flow together and know what those numbers mean. Clients haven't, in most cases, and in the most part, aren't financially trained. They're very good at what they're doing. And we've seen a lot of businesses spring up over the last few years through the pandemic. And there's a lot of people that have now set up businesses that might take off very, very quickly post-pandemic as things start to open up and get back to normal. They're going to need help from trained people that understand numbers, understand business, that can help them. There's a huge opportunity coming over the next few years for accountants to really become the partners that those businesses need. And really, as you said earlier, Rob, become those trusted advisors and really live it as opposed to just talking.
Yeah. Well, Bobby Lane, that's been world class. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Rob. That's brilliant.
This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast
with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.